You might like to turn in your Bible to the book of Isaiah and chapter 43. Perhaps we can look to the Lord in prayer. Our God and Father, we have opened thy word, thy love letter. So deal with us according to your pleasure, that we would have the benefit of your person and your grace. And our God, we're going to thank you very much. Deal with the heart of the children, the babies, and each one. Keep us for your glory and your honor. In Christ's name, amen. And being in the presence of God, we say that, and talking about fathers and Father's Day, and trying to figure that out, fathers. So, I think it would not hurt to remind ourselves, here we are in the presence of God. What is it to be God? Here we are. And if we do go up and down in your mind and heart, what does that mean? To be in the presence of God. God, what do I know about you? Therefore, Isaiah 43, some basic to remind and renew ourselves afresh. Isaiah 43, you'll know, Isaiah's Israel's wonderful assignment was to bear witness to God the same as ours, and even ours is more so. You are witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant, whom I have chosen, purpose. You may know and believe me, to know and believe, and understand that I am he, not only to believe, but understand that I am who I am. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I'm the only one. I am the Lord. Beside me, there is no Savior. So I'm the only God. We're in his presence. The only God. And he's the only Savior. Chapter 44. And you will note in chapter 44, in verse 2, thus saith the Lord that made thee, that formed thee from the womb, which will help thee. God who created us. Remember the Declaration of Independence, that we're created in the image of God. We're all God's created creatures. That's where we came from, not evolution. Thus saith the Lord that made thee, and formed thee from the womb, and which will help thee. Fear not, O Jacob, for my servant, for thou, Jehurun, righteousness, whom I have chosen. So, God, and if I can, verse 6. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, I am the last, and beside me there is no God. Verse 24. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, he that formed thee from the womb, I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretcheth out forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself. So God is an awesome person. He not only creates us, but he creates all. All of creation is his. Hang on to that. So God, the creator, he's the source of all. And everyone and everything has to answer to him, since he alone is God. It all has to answer to him. And we think it without turning there, Hebrews 11:6, and that, without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he, and then big letters jump out of the page, he is God. He is, period. He just is. See, he just plain is. God, the only God, the only Savior. He is. And all that cometh to God must believe that he is. Do you know the other part of that, over if you can, to Exodus? And in Exodus, and chapter 3, and you would remind yourself of God's introducing himself to the nation of Israel. How did God introduce himself to the nation of Israel? Chapter 3, remember the question is, Moses wanted to know how to tell the people who God was. Verse 14, and the Lord said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. I am, it's imperfect verb, being. I'll say it, I am that I am. I am being, verb, who I am being. I am that I am. I am being who I am. I am being. I am being. I am. I have no beginning and no end. He is God's awesome, wonderful person. I need to be absorbing a little bit so that I can see that and understand that. And while you're here, what else do we want to be reminded of? Now, God, you are that you are. And Moses is qualified in a most wonderful way to be able to introduce God, I am that I am. And Moses, remember, is going to go up and down the mountain how many times and spend a lot of time up there with God. Now, Moses is in the line and has been influenced by God's grace. So when we read chapter 3, of Exodus, remember Moses is there and verse 5, and he said, God, draw not nigh unto hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place where thou standest is holy ground. Here's the bush burning. The bush doesn't burn up. But the point, God introduces himself to Moses. Moses introduces himself to Israel. So when we come to verse 6, moreover, God said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Now God said, listen, I want you to know that I'm the God of Abraham, I'm the God of Isaac, I'm the God of Jacob, I'm the God of your fathers. I am going to be your God. I am your God, Moses. And Moses talked to God face to face. Moses was qualified to introduce God to Israel. Moses had been introduced to God. And now having introduced to God and been introduced and having a relationship, he can now turn around and introduce other people to God and point to God. He knows God. He's pointing to God. Wow. So God, you're the only God and only Savior. And God is able to go and people, individuals, believers, should be able to have such a relationship to God to enjoy him. Now, having said that, you go over there, we'll do it just for the sake of, again, exercise. Over to Matthew. And in chapter 28, and you'd recall Matthew chapter 28, and picking up if I can, and we know about God. I'm the only God and only Savior. And I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, God is going to help us. And Moses met God and understood, he had a unique relationship to God. And when we receive the Lord as our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, we have an assignment, as believers do, to be baptized, verse 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them, introducing them, identifying them with the name, in the name, singular, of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Now, there's no way for you and I to understand God's awesomeness. God is transcendent. He is beyond, holy, distinctly, separately, beyond all of creation. And all of creation is in the middle of God, just like, if it's not a very good illustration, but here's all of creation. Here's the tree, two trillion or so, 3 trillion, whatever, they have, billion galaxies, they say. Here they are, all around us, and we're in the middle of it. And all around outside, we're surrounded by the atmosphere and the ground. We're in, creation is in the middle of God. Creation's in the middle of God. He transcends. He awesomely transcends. He is the creator, the creator. And in the light of that, being the creator and saying that, I need to go to Psalm 102. Just to remind you and myself, Psalm 102. And in the process, God is the transcends. He's the creator, and that is expressed. God, we read. God, we can't even. The only way I start to say, the only way we can understand God is from His Word. We can look at the flowers. We can look at our body. We can look at all the laws of science and nature. Awesome, 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 awesome. Truth, creativity, flowers, wow, bugs, God. I can get that. But I only can understand Him from His Word. Unless He tells us, I don't know. God, wow, I know You are, but I don't know how to understand You. He's the Father, He's the Son, He's the Holy Ghost. He is the triune God. That's what He says. He says He is that. And He's the creator. So I got Father, God the Father, sends the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God, does His wonderful ministry. So, in Psalm 102, we are reminded, as you would guess, about us, that He's the creator. In the little Hebrew word of begetter, to beget, to bring something to pass, to make something, create. So, what do we know? We read it in Deuteronomy. Now here it is in chapter 103, picking up directly if I can, in verse 18. This shall be written for the generation to come, and the people which shall be created shall praise the Lord. So, and we do all, that's a whole massive, wonderful body of truth. We're created by God. We read it in Deuteronomy, from the womb. God gives us life. He's the creator. He's the creator of every cell. One cell, two cells, four cells, six cells, eight, 16, 24, 30, 64, 128. Double, 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 double. 1,000 zillion cells, trillion cells, dying every minute, replacing themselves. God created that. God created you, the person, soul, and spirit. And gave you this body to live in. That's awesome. That's an awesome thing. God did that. God's the creator. He's the begetter. He's the father, begetter, the father. He's the father, the one who brings things to best, the source of life, to bring into being. He's the father. He's the father. He's the Father of all creation. So sometime when we're praying publicly or something, our Father, God, our Father. Why can I say that? Because everyone isn't believing God. They don't even know God. But he's the Father. That's how we came into this world in a most wonderful way. He's the Father. It's one thing to be the Creator. But the Creator died. He's the Redeemer, the Savior, to make possible a relationship so that you can enjoy him as Father. He is the Father. Period. And why do we say he transcends? How do we describe God's wonderful, awesome, unique essence, nature, being? One nature, one being. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. God, how do we express you? How do we do it? The Father, the key, the word is the word Father. He's the Creator. He sends the Son to die, and to make it all. He creates and redeems and saves and makes it all happen, the Spirit of God. That's his ministry. So he's the Father. So God, you're the Father, you're the Creator. That's right. You're the source of life. And all us humans are the source of life. So God, you're being the Father, and that's why the emphasis isn't on the Spirit of God, though it is there, and the emphasis isn't on the Son, no. Because you know, without turning there, 1 Corinthians 15 and 28 and that, when Christ is finished, done, the end of the kingdom, end of the millennium, the end of the great white throne judgment, and he turns around in his resurrected, redeemed body, our Lord Jesus Christ, as God the Son, he turns around, 1 Corinthians 15, and before God the Father, as it were, and says, now, God, 1 Corinthians 15, God is to be all in all. He's the Father of it all. He's the Creator. And when you know him as your Savior, you discover the Father by way of the Son. You discover the Father. Now, having said that, I had a father. My father passed on. And I've had a short experience of being a father. Okay, and all of the, I know it's Father's Day and you want to do it, and Mother's Day, we do all these things. But when we're all done, what's the big deal? Okay, we're the Father. What's the big deal? We're just us. That's little old us. When we're all done, man, okay, now, I don't want to miss that. God, you created us. Mother, and you know, Genesis 2 and 24, we get married and you leave father and mother, you leave them. And you know, in Exodus chapter 20, you know what? Well, God gives the first four commandments about God. And then the last ones about your relationship to humans and God. God is the Creator, and you need to honor father and mother. That doesn't mean fathers and mothers or all of us humans are super-duper or anything. We could be absolutely terrible. But you have to come by way of the seed and the egg. You have to come by male and female. There's no other way. You have to be a male or a female. You understand? There's no it's. God doesn't say, You may honor your father or mother or it, whatever you came from. You're an it, you know. I don't want trans, all that word. All that horrible stuff. You're a male or a female. God made you that. Don't argue, don't debate. You can debate it. You can make believe and wear a big sign on your forehead, I'm a tomato. Wear it. You're still a male or female. That's what you are, no matter how you cut the cookie. And so when you play with that, you are in trouble, just plain trouble. And all of it leads, as we know. So the more society, The more society loses, the family, father, mother, male, female, boy, girl, the more you lose all that, then you lose what? Identity. When you lose where we came from. Where did I come from? Why am I here? Where am I going? What's this all about? I got to have some answers. If I don't have answers to those basic questions, I could be a PhD and have 25 degrees. If I don't know, I need to know who I am and why I'm here. I need to know where I came from. That's why the fifth commandment, honor thy father and thy mother, because that's where you came from. It doesn't mean they were good guys or bad guys or anything. I just got to acknowledge I came from a father and a mother. No matter how you play the game today, which is costing us very, 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 very much, because we're losing reality. And when we live in unreality, we're going to pay for it. You can't have people live in unreality and have it come out good. It just isn't going to come out good. So, here's our fatherless society. Remember the book that was written years ago on the society without a father? All those, what books? No one, people read books and forget them, I guess. So they, not enough people read them. Hey, so a fatherless society makes for not so good human conditions. And so, you know, from Romans 1, we'll do that just for the sake of, for the moment. Over to Romans chapter 1, and you will note that which is repeated, but just in this case, Romans chapter 1, picking up, please. Who am I? Where am I from? Etc. And verse 25, 1 and 25. Who changed humans, changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, this reason, God gave them up unto vile affections, disgraceful affections. For even the women did change their natural use into that which is against nature, etc., etc., as you read chapter 20, verse 27, and all of it. You can't. God allowed the whole thing to go crooked. You didn't want to go straight, so you're going to go crooked. And it's not going to come out good. And affections there in verse 26 is lust. Affections, lust. Now, so in the process, Where did I come from? Why am I here? Therefore, over if you can, please. If I can, over to Isaiah. Isaiah, if I can. Isaiah 63. And in Isaiah chapter 63, and even before I do that, hold your finger here if you like, and Deuteronomy and chapter 32. Deuteronomy and chapter 32. And picking up if I can, chapter 32 in verse 6. I'll read verse 5 to a little context. 32, Deuteronomy, verse 5. They have corrupted themselves. Their spot is not the spot of his children, his God's children. They are a perverse and crooked generation. In other words, they got off track. God created them to have an awesome, wonderful journey through time. We just read. But here, back then, for Israel, using the same, they were to know God. They were given opportunity at Mount Sinai to know God in a wonderful way. They do not have the marks, the birth, the mark, the evidence. You have some characteristics of your parents. You have it not only with germs and bugs and everything else, but you got a characteristic. You look similar to your parents. You care. They don't have any marks that they came from God. They're spotless. They don't look like my children at all. If I did it, they'd look like my children. They'd have the marks of being believers. They don't see it. I don't see the spot. And therefore, a perverse and crooked generation, verse 5. Verse 6, do ye thus require the Lord, O foolish people and unwise? Is not thy father that hath brought thee? Hath he not made thee and established thee? We just read it. God created us, created them. Remember the days of old, consider the years of many generations, and ask thy father, and he will show thee, and thy elders, and he will tell thee. When the Most High divided the nation to the nations, their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. And you know, when we did all that, that's where God marked the piece of property in Palestine, Jerusalem. Before anyone got anywhere, he marked it out. That's his, where he's going to be, Jerusalem. That's his piece, of his place. Now, having said that, back over to Isaiah. And in Isaiah chapter 63, here's the history going down the road from Deuteronomy, Israel and the kings, etc., etc. And here we are moving into the time of Isaiah. Now, if I can, in verse 15, look down from heaven and behold, this is a remnant. The 10 tribes in the north are going into captivity under the Assyrians. Eventually, they aren't believing. Ultimately, the 2 tribes in the south are not going to be believing either. Therefore, the remnant, the believing heart, cries out to God, look down from heaven and behold from the habitation of thy holiness and of thy glory. Where is thy zeal, thy strength, the sounding of thy bowels, and of thy mercies toward me? Are they, Isaiah representing the remnant, are they restrained? Verse 16, doubtless thou art our father. Though Abraham be ignorant of us, Abraham had no consciousness of Isaiah. Though thou be our father, though Abraham be ignorant of us, and Israel acknowledge us not. Israel doesn't, they don't want. Remember, if you're going to be different, really different, the crowd that wants to be orange, and you want to be something, the crowd doesn't really have comfortableness with you being different. They had no Israel had no comfort in their unbelief, in their indifference, to have a bunch of people like Isaiah be a believer looking to God. They were not comfortable having light in the darkness. They didn't want light in the darkness. They just didn't want it. They don't want it today either. The churches, religion, ecumenism, all the Protestant, all the, they don't want to believe it. A real believer isn't going to be a good Catholic. He isn't going to be a good Protestant. He's going to be a good believer. He's going to believe what God says. Not a system, a good and bad within him, and whatever they are, they're going to have to believe God, a relationship to God. Father. And there is no other one else. Father, you know. He's the Father. He's the one of all the... Hang on. Now, verse 16. Doubtless thou art our father, though Abraham be ignorant of us, and Israel ignores us not. Israel acknowledge us not. Thou, O Lord, art our Father, our Redeemer. Thy name is from everlasting. So God, we understand. You know, they understood. They just didn't practice it. They just didn't practice their relationship to God. Period. One God, one Savior. He's the Father. He's the Creator. You honor him. 64, Isaiah. We did that. Isaiah chapter 64, picking up in verse 6. But we are all as unclean thing, And all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And we do all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities are like the wind, have taken us away. In other words, we aren't in very good shape at all. Verse 7. And there is none that calleth upon thy name, that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. For thou hast hid thy face from us, and hath consumed us. Why? Because of our iniquities, our sin, we haven't honored you, God, at all. But, verse 8, now, O Lord, thou art our Father, and we are the clay, and thou art our potter, and we are all the work of thy hand. So, God, we're looking to you. We're looking to you. They have to acknowledge what? If you're going to get down, he's a father. He isn't just, he's the creator. He's the father. That's the father. He's the source of what? Everything. Everything everywhere. He's the source. So I need to know him, not as my creator. That's good. I need to know him as my savior. Why do I need to know him as my savior? Because he's my father. I want to enjoy the Father. He's my Father. He isn't my keeper in prison, my warden or something. He's my Father. Here's the fathers, men, here we are. What do you want? There's all kinds of people in the world, but you only have one Father. That's all you have. One Father. Us humans, one Father. And that Father, what do we know about all our relationships? Father, mother, brother, sister, husband, wife, boy, girl, they all are going to what? Disappear. When the Lord takes you tonight, if he took you home, all of those relationships are zip, gone. They don't mean a thing anymore. So you're trusting them. They aren't going to do you any good. They're going to do you. If you didn't have a relationship to God, he's the Father. I'm not the Father. You're not, no offense, you're not the Father. God's the Father. You got to honor God. They didn't. Now, having said that, over to John. The Gospel of John and chapter 1. And you would call. Now, you know all this, but just put it together. You know, John. Anyway, John. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was with God, the Word was God, etc., etc. The same was in the beginning with God. The Lord Jesus Christ, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, God the Father sent the Son, verse 14, John 1, 14. The Word was made flesh, God the Son, the Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory as of the as of the only begotten of the Father. Of the Father. What did the Lord Jesus Christ come to do? To bring you to the Father. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man, John 14, 6, cometh unto the Father except by me. What's the whole point? Do you know God? Well, how can we know God? He's triune. He's God the Father, God the Son, God. How am I supposed to know him? As Father. He's my Father. I'm in the presence of my Father. Who's my Father? God is my Father. I am the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Who's your God? If people look to you, how far would you get me to get us to God if I follow you? If I follow what you think and how you think, how close will I get to God? How's that? That's a legit question. Legit question. If I follow you, will I get to God? Well, how, if I have to wait 3 years before you say something about God? You know? Wow. Now, hang on. Therefore, the Word became flesh, dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. And the Lord Jesus, verse 17, for the law was given by Moses. Think of Sunday school on the law. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ our Lord. So God, you've done a wonderful, wonderful thing to bring us God has presented himself. God has presented himself. The Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world is born in Bethlehem of Judea, born to be crucified. And he presents himself as the Word become flesh. That's the Gospel of John is presenting to you the person born in Bethlehem of Judea is God in the flesh. Verse 18, 1 and 18. For no man has seen God at any time. And we made that clear. You aren't going to see God. He's different. And we said, holy. He's holy. Holy, different than we are. We're locked into earth. We're locked into breathing. We're locked into sight. Our senses. Our senses tell us everything. God, it isn't that way on the other side. In the spirit world, it isn't like that. So I have to understand where I am. I'm on earthbound. God, you're different. Ah. Now, therefore, verse 18, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, the middle, the heart, the bosom, the chest, the centerpiece of all your parts, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared, explained him, brought him forth so you can understand. He has brought forth the wonderful, wonderful person of God, and he has explained him. Over, if you can, in the light of that. And so God the Son is in God the Father, God the Son, they're all the God. And God the Father sends God the Son, and God the Son is the nearest and dearest to God. He's in the bosom. God being God, God, Father, God the Son, God the Holy God, they're God. They're wonderfully, wonderfully God. And God is sending what? I'm going to give you the nearest and dearest to me, my Son. The Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. I'm going to give you myself in my Son. I can't give you anything more precious. I'm the Creator, and I make it possible for you to be created physically and to understand Christ died so that we could be saved and that we're to be saved spiritually in a most wonderful way. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you would, go with me over, please, in your Bible, over, if you can, please, to John chapter 8. And in John chapter 8, you would recall in John 8, picking up, please, you'll catch it in verse 17. And in verse 7, yes, it is written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bears witness of myself. And the Father that hath sent me bear witness of me. I, God the Father, I, God the Son, two of us are bearing witness. In the mouth of two witnesses, pay attention, pay attention. Now therefore, verse 26. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true. I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. Verse 27. They understood not, N-O-T, that he spake to them of the Father. He was helping them. The Lord Jesus Christ was revealing the Father, his will, his word, his way. Verse 28. Then said Jesus unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he, that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. Verse 29, he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. Our Lord Jesus Christ represents God, wonderful person. Now the Jews, what do they think? Sliding down, they heard all this. They're exposed to God in the flesh. And Israel was exposed to Mount Sinai and the tabernacle. Here, John chapter 8, here's the Jews in front of the Lord and standing in front of him, saying all these things. Verse 33, what did they understand? They answered him, we be Abraham's seed and were never in bondage to any man, how sayest thou, ye shall be made free? In other words, we're the children of Abraham. And if you were the children of Abraham, then you would certainly understand, verse 39, they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. You want the works, you're the spot. There's no mark that you belong to Abraham. Abraham believed God. We're trusting in our background. We're trusting in a tradition. We're trusting in a human evolution, as it were, a human existence, conditions. We're trusting them. We're trusting something. They were trusting their human birth by way of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Israel. They were trusting that. But they didn't, that was wonderful, but they didn't come to know God the Father. They needed to know why Abraham trusted God, Isaac trusted God, Jacob trusted God, Moses trusted God. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I'm the God of Moses, but I'm not your God. They didn't want him to be their God. That's what they didn't want happen. Chapter 14. They didn't want that to happen. There's lots of people. So when I say, who is your God? And if I follow you, how close will I get to God? And all the rest of gods are no gods, without taking time to Deuteronomy 32 and that. There are no gods. Now, how is the judgment of Israel wonderful? God said he's going to send them into captivity ultimately. Assyrian and Babylonian and Titus in 70 AD and all those things. He said, I'm going to send you there. And you want to be like the other people, the nations. You want to get into idolatry. Idolatry is doing what? Idolatry is putting a God in front of me. Works of the flesh, Galatians 5:20. The works of the flesh. Idolatry. I put a God. Why do I like idolatry? Because I can put something in place of God. I don't have to answer to God. I don't want to see God. I don't want to answer to God directly. I don't want to do that. I'm not ready to do that. I'm not ready to do something else religiously, like think of Sunday school. But I can't. I'm not ready to talk to God. God, I'm not ready. Are you ready? See, ready. Now, having said that, so here they are going. And in the process, they weren't looking to God. I started to say, I forgot what I was saying. Chapter 14. And you would guess, in chapter 14, the Lord is telling us, helping us, they wanted to be into, they didn't want to know God, that's all. They just didn't want to know him. They didn't want to know their Creator in a personal way. They just didn't want to know. I'll acknowledge God created me, but I don't know him. I don't know. So, chapter 14. And you'll remember our Lord saying it, verse 7. Remember, I am the way, the truth, and the life, verse 6. No man comes to the Father but by me, verse 7. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also, and from henceforth you know him and have seen him. And they're looking. And Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father. And it's a fact. They want to see the Father. But you can't see the Father without the Son. Verse 9. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, 3 1/3 years? And yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. How sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? Or for the words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the work. He does the works in a most wonderful way. He does. Now, having said that, he does the works. So I came to help it bring you to the Father. So that, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. To come what? To get to God the Father. To know God the Father. That's what to do. Chapter 14, sliding over it if I can, verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. He that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and I will love him, manifest myself to him. Ah, and more, verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, honoring my word, wants to know me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode, Father and Son. So what, God, the Lord Jesus Christ, I receive the Son. Why do I receive the Son of God? That I can become a child of God. John 1:12. As many as received him, to them the right to become children of God, that believe. So, looking to God, as we're going to go, we're going to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I receive the Son. Why did I receive the Son? Because he's the way to save me. Christ the Son saves. Christ died on the cross to save me. To get me what? To get me to know the Father. How could I have a relationship to God without the cross? I can't do it. As long as I'm separated by sin, I can't do that. I can't get there. So God, when I receive you as my Savior, I cannot receive God the Son, Father, Son, without God the Holy Spirit. I cannot receive God the Holy Spirit without God, without the Father. I just can't do it. Can't do it. That's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Wow, no. And therefore, you will note, please, in verse 20, 14 and verse 20, in that day, you shall know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Remember they had the cups? You're going to have a unique relationship. That's what you're going to know. You're going to know that in a wonderful way. Remember we did it all the time? I'm going to be in you, and my Father's going to be in you, and all of you is going to be in God. Simple. A relationship. That's a Father. My Father. Now, having said that, now we don't want to miss. In the light of verse 20, let me go back to verse 18. I will not leave you comfortless, said God. I will come unto you. The word comfortless is fatherless. I will not leave you fatherless. Comforter. I will not leave you without a father. You don't want to be without. You can't be without a father. In heaven or hell, you're going to have a father. No matter how you cut the cookie, the Father's the Father. And you need to know him and enjoy him as a father. And that's what we need to put together, how to enjoy him. Okay, and our time is gone. Do you understand a little? I wasn't sure if I could, when I put a title down, that if I'd make it, this would run out. But it has run out, because now I want to get you to, how do you enjoy the Father? What are the benefits? Okay, now, so therefore, I'll close with a little illustration that you remember that is one of the good illustrations, easy to understand. I had this two little daughter, a sister and a younger sister, and in the house, and they're doing whatever they're doing, and the father's upstairs in his study or something, doing whatever, and the father's upstairs. So the father's upstairs there, and the little sisters do what they do, like everyone does. That's the trouble. You have family. You have got to be ready for war, right? Ready to defend everything. All right, so the older sister at the foot of the stairs, she said, let's race up the stairs. And the little girl's a little girl, a big sister. So the little sister, big sister, jumps up the stairs and gets there. He's there, like the tortoise and the hare. And the little girl goes up the stairs one step at a time, gets there. And the little girl's hugging the father. And she said, I have all of the father. And the little girl waddles over to the father and looks up and she says, he has all of me. Father's Day. I have all of him. He has all of me. Father, my father. irreplaceable. You understand? My Father. Our Father and God, we thank you for your word, your work, your grace. So help us in every way. It's just us. Fathers, mothers, boys, girls, man, woman, God, that's just a little old us. So you got to help us, God, to know it's beyond awesome. It's transcendent, God, beyond our understanding, that we can enjoy you as the Father. Our privilege. God, thank you very, very, very much. For those who know you not as Lord and Savior, God, may they receive you into their heart. And our God, we're going to thank you very much. Give safety, encouragement, do all that's needful for us, even this day. In Christ's name, the Lord bless you. Thank you.